Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. I have a question this evening to all of you. What is the most scary thing in your life? Or what are you most scared of? Or I'll give an example. For many roller coasters, right? I like roller coasters a lot. There is an international club for roller coaster. I want to join in that. George Verver also is one of the, yeah. So for some horror movies, they're the scariest things. Anything, heights. For some people, heights, it's very scary. For some, spiders. Right? Spiders. For some, snakes. Okay. So any thoughts? Any kids, you have anything that you are scared of?
Bees.
Bees. So whoever is listening on Zoom, they are missing this excitement, right? So recently, I was looking at how they do this crown and dentist thing on YouTube. So it's very scary. So anything else? For some loud noises, it's very scary. Closed doors. Yeah, yeah. For some of us coming from India, dogs, we were scared. Okay. Dogs. But here, they're very approachable and very nice. So it depends on, right, where we are brought up, many things in life. So please bear that in mind as we are going through Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Speaking of scared, this evening I want to talk about from scared to sacred. From scared to sacred. So what are we scared of? So this evening, I want to talk to you from my heart, as usual. I'm scared of one thing in life. I'm scared of one thing in life that's really very deep. I'm scared of marriage. How marriages turn up. If you look at the context of the present age that we are living in, I can confidently point the arrow to the marriage. The issues that United States of America is facing, West is facing especially, I can point confidently to the issues of marriage. The wars between the genders. And as a church, we are competent enough to talk about these things. And here, today we are looking at Deuteronomy chapter 24. How the scared thing can be turned to sacred thing. And we look at Deuteronomy chapter 24. We have the law mentioned here, and chapter 24, verse 1 to 5, it's about marriage and divorce. So as I speak on this topic, I speak from my brought up. I speak from my culture. I speak from my family background. I speak all these things keeping behind. I want to bring the word of God to the top of all these things. Though I have impact of my marriage, my family, my brought up, my culture, Scripture is the one that brings us joy that brings us meaning in our life. So though these things get impact, we have to give importance to the scripture. That is not just the importance, that is the ultimate guidance for us. So if you have any problems with my sharing about these things, I would really appreciate you can talk to the elders. So I want to put that disclaimer. Don't take my words as a stand, as a church stand up or church standing up for these things. So based on what I have learned in my Christian life, what I have learned from my experience, I want to put before you. And I'm open to discussion as well. And I'm open to question. I'm open to correct myself also. So with that spirit, let's look into Deuteronomy chapter 24. So here we see verse 1 to 5, marriage and divorce. And from verse 6 onwards, we see our responsibility as citizens, as social responsibility. And as I was mentioning, why I consider marriage as a most scared thing. If you see here, let's read chapter 24, verse 1 to 5. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house. And if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the later man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the later man dies, who took her to be his wife, then her former husband, who sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. Verse 5. When a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. It's a very good portion for us to study as a chapel. Some of the marriages we see, they go very well. And suddenly we hear they're going for divorce. So standing here, it's a very difficult topic to talk. But by God's grace, I can really attempt this topic. Because when we talk about divorce, see, congregation, if there are no divorced people, it's easy to talk on that subject. But if there are some divorced people, how can we really address that without really making them uncomfortable? Especially when we talk about marriage, it's a very touchy subject. Because we are entering into the issues of personal issues. So in US, I see people talking about so much in their Sunday messages, but they don't want to touch the issue of marriage, the differences. But I am thinking in the coming 20, 40 years, especially America, the marriage is going to be very, very attacked institution. It's already been. It's going to be attacked. Though we may think we are growing in technology, though we are thinking that we can establish things in the moon, but this is the institution that is most attacked, that is going to be attacked. Even severely, it is going to be attacked. there could be a time where people do not marry, but they keep giving birth to children, and the issues will be completely different. If you really don't take that seriously, the marriage, the institution of marriage. And here we see, especially Deuteronomy as a law. As Christians, we are so much into grace, or we are so much into New Testament. But I am so glad that God has given this law, because God considers as a whole beings, physical, spiritual, social. He made us in His image, and He kept us here as a caretakers, as responsible people. And these are the things we have to study. We cannot compartmentalize, mentioning that this is spiritual, this is secular, this is physical, this is spiritual. Really, if you want to grow as a full-blown, a full-grown Christians, we need to consider the entire aspects of our human life. And I'm so glad God has given this instructions law. And even before getting into this, I want to touch base on the importance of the law. In Romans, Paul says, the law is good and holy. The law by itself is not sinful. But because of our sinful nature, the law takes it as an advantage. So our core issue is not law, but our sinful nature. And we have been seeing Deuteronomy for several weeks. And in chapter 22, we have seen, I'm so glad Jonathan, he took that chapter. In chapter 22, verse 13, I will... read 13th, verse 13 onwards. Just to give a background, here it says, if a man takes a wife and goes on to her and then hates her and accuses her of misconduct and brings a bad name upon her, saying, I took this woman, and when I came near her, I did not find in her evidence of virginity. Talking about the early days of marriage, the first time they are uniting. And going further, see here, verse 18, if this accusation is wrong, what happens? Then the elders of that city shall take the man and whip him. I want to really focus. If it is wrong, the elders of the congregation take that man and they whip him. He cannot just point at his wife without any proper reason. And even when we go further, let's see, 22, verse 22. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. See, in God's sight, how He is looking at both of them. We need to have this perspective. And coming here in verse 20, chapter 24, we read, when a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes. So it's been a while after they got married. And here, a situation comes, he is not finding favor in his eyes. So when I read this word, favor means chen in Hebrew, or shen. It means grace, charm, pleasing, precious, or pleasantness. So he is not finding in her. So why I'm telling it's not immediately after the marriage. Verse 5 it says, when a man is newly married, that's a different one. So here, when he finds no favor, what is the reason? Because he has found some indecency. Some indecency. So when we are not married, the things that we see in other person are completely different after we gets married. So last week or before, when I met a young couple before getting married, he was mentioning, I know her 10 years, I can understand better. Then I said, oh, you're far ahead. I married my wife 20 years, still I'm not able to understand. See how things will change. So here we see he found some indecency in her. And we see indecency, the root word there, nakedness, shame, uncleanness. Primarily, let's take sexual issue there. And based on that, that indecency, he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts in her hand and sends her out. And then she departs out of his house. If she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the later man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts in her hand and sends her out of his house. This regarding the marriage and divorce, we need to reach out to New Testament to get a more understanding definitely in this context. In Matthew 19:30, Pharisees, they came up to Jesus, tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? The question is to test Jesus. They don't have any question whether to kill a person, is it lawful or not? They are not asking. Okay. Or to steal, is it lawful or not? They are not asking. Did you understand? They are asking this pointed question. Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And he answered, Jesus, let's take from these words. He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? He is not answering the question directly. But it is not to escape from the question, but he is giving a higher plane to understand these things. A higher plane. And what he is telling? The Creator, when he created them, he created male and female. He understood at the time itself the issue of gender. Male and female, the war between male and female. And here, he says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. See, the creation of God, it's not about competition. It's about the creation, why God has created them. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. So he's really addressing their assumptions. And further he says, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. See, that's he's nicely giving the whole teaching behind this divorce and marriage. Let what God has joined, let not man separate. And further he says, they said to him, why then did Moses command? Have you ever thought about this? Why then, therefore, Moses command one to give certificate? I was really looking, is there any place Moses commanded? I have not found. And further, they They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart." We'll come to that. Moses, what he did? Allowed you. What a wonderful word it is. He allowed. I'm so excited. When I thought about these things, commanded, he allowed. And I came across an article in Tyndale Bible related articles. A person writing a paper on this. A person writing, taking the Hebrew language, comparing. But that's not his, what I'm telling is, it's what I understood. It is at par with what I understood, but here, they're telling Moses commanded. First of all, I want to say, Moses did not command. And they're telling, and Jesus is mentioning, he allowed. And Jesus is not mentioning, he approved. Look at this commandment, approval, and allowed. So when kids watch binge watching, right? It's called binge watching. Okay. Do I command them to watch? Or do I approve them to watch? I just allow them. That's also not due to the during the days of when school is there, during vacation or weekend. And we see here, coming back in Deuteronomy 24, this is a situation that it's a happening situation. It's not a Moses commanding them. 24, coming back to Deuteronomy 24, when a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes. What is the standard word for law? Thou shall not or thou shall. But here, it's an incident that is happening. When it happens, what to do? Because being a lawyer, it's very difficult. We have to be lawyers to understand this. Okay. So especially as we are going through this law, immigration law, how they really chop out, how they really see the things. But here, based on our understanding, based on our what God has taught us through various people, through the teaching, we can understand it's neither commanded nor approved. And also, as we read in chapter 22, both man and wife, they shall die if they're caught in the adultery. But here, it's already been done. He has given the divorce of certificate, and she went to another person, and now she comes back, and this is where the law comes into the picture. Verse 4, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for inheritance. So when this happens, how, as a people of God, they have to respond. That's what has been mentioned here. And also, especially this part, abomination before the Lord, and also she has been defiled. I don't really understand what is the meaning of she has been defiled. Is it that God is looking at her as a defiled person, as a useless person? I don't think so. What I understand is defiled means in this whole process, she was defiled or given a bad name because of the first husband. So by human being, she is not defiled. That's what I understand. Maybe afterwards anyone can comment on that or provide some inputs. But here it says, you shall not bring sin upon the land by remarrying. I also don't know about why. What is the reason? So this is one important thing. We need not know everything. We need not know dot to dot to be Christians. There are some things we can leave them. I do not know. That gives us a lot of freedom. That gives, really, we can wait upon God for clarity if we don't know. Instead of coming to some conclusions, or instead of becoming bitter, or applying to myself, or getting angry on God, if things are not clear, we can leave it there. That's what I see here. But I struggle with this type of verses. And there are so many things in life that I struggle like that. For example, I'm waiting for 15 years to get green card. Right? And a person comes from Nepal, he gets green card very next day. How can I address that? How can I go to God? I leave it to God. And there are so many things that are really questionable. There are some questions. Why God allowed men to marry several women and did not allow women to marry several men? Or at least in the scripture, in the Old Testament? And there are some difficult things. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. So there are things are there in the scripture that really challenges us. That really challenges us. But looking at the answer from Jesus Christ in Matthew 19, it should give us a lot of insights. He is giving us a bigger drawback. Or backdrop. He's giving us a bigger purpose. And he's mentioning God has made both of them in his image. So God has given to both of them intrinsic value, intrinsic dignity. He compared himself with father. God himself compared with mother. Why I am mentioning these things is when wife and husband go through difficult situations, when children see that, what is the response they will have? They will have a distress on the institution of marriage. Oh, marriage is like this. They're fighting. They're arguing. And slowly they get into the mode of distress, bitterness. Think about a boy or a girl who gets this into this. Every day they see wife and husband, parents fighting, arguing. And he goes into a college. How his view of if he's a boy towards woman, if he's a girl towards boy. Are you able to see the challenge here when we're bringing up our children? And even there are things are there they think that there is no gender equality. And what they think, no? Let's come up with another gender. Christian families are there. They don't know how children are growing. And suddenly the boy or girl comes and tells something the parents, they cannot fathom. They cannot even imagine. We are going to church. We are bringing up our children in the scripture. But what happened to them? Why they are thinking like that? See, these are the things we don't really understand. We don't give the depth of. Only when we hit the issues, then we raise. We call for prayer. But I want to tell, as Christians, we need to be equipped with these things. How they are understanding the importance of gender as children, as youth, as even married people. How we are understanding. Do we have that conviction that God has created us male and female? And here we see in concerning the divorce and loss, when we have that understanding why God has created us or what is the role God has put us, whether it's a male or female, and God has that intrinsic respect and value to us, we raise, we live a life that pleases to God. And even in Ephesians chapter 5, can we turn to that? It's a very important verse. Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 32. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So when it is talking about wife and husband, we are only stuck with me and my wife. We are only stuck with our. But looking beyond, what is that? It's so profound, and it is referring to Christ and the church. Christ and the church. So, then coming back to Jesus, the help from Jesus, he said to them, to the Pharisees, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So today, I want to address the hardness of our hearts. Our hardness. What are the areas this hardness of heart is really impacting? See, this person, this man, he found no favor because of some indecency. Because of some indecency. I'm glad we are not 2,000, 3,000 years back. We are at 2020. Woman has the same rights. Right? Especially in India. Now the things are grown, caught up so much. If a woman goes to the court, she has more hearing from the law. We are extremely glad as Christians. We both are in the image of God. They have the same rights. And here we see, what are the areas we are impacted by the hardness of our hearts? What are the areas? See, when we get married, it's a very good emotions, love, joy. But when we get into responsibilities, when kids raise their grown-ups, and when we get into things that are not really decent, expressing our appreciation to each other, when we lack that, how our hearts get hardened. So what are the areas that our hearts are hardened? So we need to check as part of this study. And we see that marriage should be based on the covenant and commitment and not based on the feelings. That's one of the reasons the first person cannot marry her again. It's not based on the feelings, it's based on the commitment, based on the deep commitment. And we see in Malachi how God compares the marriage, how God compares, we see in various places, how God takes the marriage so precious. And for in that context, we'll read Hebrews chapter 13. There is a verse there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Marriage be held in honor among all, more than job, more than anything, more than our career. It is mentioned, marriage be held in honor. So we need not be scared from scared to sacred. Marriage from scared to sacred. I don't know how many families were scared. How many families were broken because of divorce. And as Christians, with a humble heart, we can move from scared to sacred, honorable. That's what we see. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Hope I have mentioned what is there in my mind, and we can move on 24 verse 5 onwards. So these remaining things, these are all responsibility, our responsibility towards the society, our neighbors. Verse 5, when a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. We have covered that. It's primarily mentioning that it has to be considered serious. Okay. It's not that he shall be free at home, does not mean not working. It says that he should not take the responsibilities that are beyond. He has to dedicate his life, that 1 year, understanding each other, growing. And verse 6, no one shall take a mill or an upper mill, a millstone in pledge, for that would be taking a life in pledge. It is about the things that are life or our day-to-day living based that provides living, and especially here mill. If you see the mills, they are the ones that we can make a grain out of that. We can put the grain. We can get the food out of it. And verse 7, if a man is found stealing one of his brothers of the people of Israel, and if he treats him as a slave or sells him, then the thief shall die. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. 8, take care in case of leprous disease, to be very careful to do according to all that the Levitical priest shall direct you. As I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Remember that the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way as you came out of Egypt. In Numbers, we see Miriam, she was talking against Moses for taking, can we turn to Numbers 12? There is Numbers 12. It is mentioned, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. So, really giving our ear to the authorities we see here, and especially Levitical priests. So they're like doctors. They know what is required, what is not required. And here he's reminding Miriam in the case of leprous disease, obeying to the God-given authority. Verse 10, when you make your neighbor a loan of any sort, you shall not go into his house to collect his pledge. You shall stand outside. What a amazing dignity here. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you make the loan shall bring the pledge out to you. And if he is a poor man, you shall not sleep in his pledge. You shall restore to him the pledge as the sun sets, that he may sleep in his clock and bless you, and it shall be a righteousness for you before the Lord your God. So treating people with respect, with honor, with dignity, we can see. And verse 14, you shall not oppress a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your brothers or one of the sojourners who are in your land within your own towns. You shall give him wages on the same day before the sun sets, for he is poor and counts on it, lest he cry against you to the Lord and you be guilty of sin. 16. Fathers shall not be put to death because of their children, nor shall children be put to death because of their fathers. Each one shall be put to death for his own sin. Taking the responsibility, personal responsibility, we can see here. 17. You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. Always how God looks at justice, mercy and kindness, justice, mercy and faith. How he requires his people to show that kindness towards the neighbors. And verse 19, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. So always God's concern, God's mercies as children of God we have to see. And especially it's very touching in the harvest, leaving out some of the things. What a tremendous generosity, right? What a tremendous generosity. I remember when I accepted the Lord, when I came to know the Lord, how godly people, they took care of me. They provided me food. There are times are there when the conflicts were there at home. Okay. After Sunday, how I went to the homes of believers. So when we see their generosity, it really encourages us. So as a chapel, may the Lord bless these things for us. And especially as I was mentioning in the context of marriage, okay, from scared to sacred. Okay. And I have a prayer here. I have written a prayer. I prayed I have written here. It says, "Dear Father, I am a human being and you gave me birth. I am a sinful person, not able to understand the effects that we can have on the humanity. I pray for my future generation not to get into the hardness of heart by looking at the injustice that is happening in this world in terms of gender differences, financial or social differences, or political differences. I am scared about where my sinful nature leads my future generation, and I need your grace and I need your strength to understand the purpose with which you have created us, male and female. Soften our hearts, Lord. Lord, make our hearts tender. Give us a childlike heart, a faith to trust you and obey. In his name, amen."